I honestly could worship 24/7. I love worshiping. But God did not give me a voice. So I don't have that talent. You know, and I don't understand because my son, he sings. My grandson, he plays the drums and he's smooth as butter. And my granddaughter is like a ballerina dancing. Okay? I don't have that. He didn't give me that. I begged, but he didn't give it to me. But that's okay because we're all unique. We're all different. And we're all special and loved by God. You know, he loves us so much. And I'm not sure if we grasp the depth of that love that he has for us. Because a life-changing moment came to me when I realized how much he loves me. Ladies, he doesn't love you any more on your best day as he does on your worst day. His love doesn't change. It's unlimited. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because we're going to turn to a couple of scriptures about just how much he loves us. Because if we ever got that deep in our souls, how much he loves us, we'd be unstoppable. But I don't think we grasp it. So let's turn to some scriptures. Let's turn to 1 John 4, 7 through 16. And then we're going to go, while you're looking, you might as well find this one too, Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. So first of all, we're going to read 1 John 4, 7 through 16. Okay, is everybody there? Okay. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. Okay, now that's the first one. But let's go to Ephesians, and this is going to drive it home for you. 3:16 through 19. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, I wanted to read that first because I wanted you to understand how much he loves us. And also, I have an ulterior motive for that. Because tonight, We're going to be studying some scripture that might be a little bit hard to digest. So I thought I'd give you the dessert first, the good part. You know, God loves us. No matter what, he loves us. But it doesn't stop there. He loves us so much. But he wants us to do something in return. So, our text tonight is going to be in Luke 9, 23 through 26. So I'm not going to read it yet because you don't want to, you know, I'm going to keep it really still good. So I want you to remember how much he loves you. So, but tonight we're going to be dining on meat. That was the dessert, and it went down pretty good. But now it's meat. So it's like spiritual medicine. Okay? So it's going to be a little hard going down, because you know how medicine is. When you take it, it doesn't taste too good, but it accomplishes what it's supposed to. It heals you and restores you back to health. So we're going to dive into it in just a minute. You know, we only have one more week left. So this is second to the last week. So how are you ladies doing? Are we enjoying it so far? And are we getting a lot out of it? Is our lives a little bit better, changed? Good. So according to this week's schedule, we were supposed to cover Jesus, his message, his ministry, and his miracles. And you guys know how much work that was. It was like three chapters, right? So it was just way too much to cover. So we picked out one that we thought would you'd like. Actually, not what you'd like, but what would be more beneficial for us. So we picked it out. And so that's what we're going to focus on tonight. And we'll be talking about four ways we can demonstrate our love to God. And I've entitled this message, Counting the Cost. So let's pray before I start. Father God, I just am so grateful for this opportunity and privilege to stand before these ladies. God, I don't have any authority. I don't have anything to do this. So I'm leaving it up to you to speak through me and just take over. Lord, I just pray that you would just bless everyone here. And may they open their ears to hear the whatever you would have them hear. And may they leave here tonight just a little bit changed by reading your word. And we give you the praise and the glory. Amen. Okay, so let's read. Let's read the passage all together. So you guys have it there with you? Okay. Then he said to them all, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it profit someone if he gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and that of the Father and the holy angels. So, first of all, this passage is directed to who? All of us. Nobody's left out. So, we're all on the same even playing board, okay? So the next thing you might want to ask your question this, because it says here, then if anyone said to them all, if anyone wants to follow after me, so do we really desire to follow after him? That's the question. Do we really want to? We've learned in our study that a tree is known by its fruit. Good tree bears good fruit. Bad tree bears bad fruit. So in Matthew 7:20, God's word says you will know them by their fruit. Okay? So do you really want to follow him? Is that your desire? That's the first question you have to ask yourself. Once you've asked that and said, yes, I do want to follow him. Now there's three things that he wants us to do and one thing that he wants us not to do. So the three things he wants us to do is deny yourself, take up your cross daily, follow him. But what he doesn't want you to do is be ashamed of him. So the first thing, we're going to break it down. So the first thing is deny yourself. So what's Jesus saying here when he says deny yourself? Deny yourself of what? What do you need to deny yourself of? And I would say anything that we are seeking over the will of God. Anything. So how do we do that? We surrender to his lordship in our lives. We give up our right to ourselves and we fall on him in total obedience. That's heavy, right? I said it's going to cost you. So what would that be to you in particular? What do you need to purposely deny yourselves of? Pleasures of this world? Maybe it could be as simple as your need to be right all the time. What is it? What is he asking you to let go of personally? Because whatever that is, that's what he's saying for you to lay down. So our love for him, ladies, must exceed our love for ourselves. And we live in a self world. All about me, 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 me. So that's going to be tough, right? And it would be impossible if it were not for the Holy Spirit, the help of the Holy Spirit. We could not do it. But when we're born again, we have that. And God will help you. But you are required to ask for that help. You know, I think we can get it by osmosis or something. But we have to ask for help. You know, and that requires you to do something. So in Ephesians 3:20, it says, now, all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So there you have it. He's already said, okay, there's your help. You got help. I'm not asking you to do this by yourself. You can't. It's impossible. But since I'm the God of the impossible, I'm going to help you. And that's what he does. Last night we had prayer night. And we spent time in corporate prayer. And I know you wonder, why prayer night? Why do you have to come to prayer night? What's prayer night all about? Well, because there's power in prayer. When we come together to pray, there's power. So we have not because we ask not, according to James 4:2. I think a lot of people don't realize that power that they have if they just ask. So let's get in the habit of asking for the help that we need. Stop saying, oh, I can't do that, or I can't do that, or, oh, that, I can't go. God doesn't want to hear that. He's already given you what you need to do it, so you can do it. So Jesus set that example for us. Even in the scripture that we studied, How many times did he take time and went by himself and prayed? Now, I don't know how to say this without sounding crazy, but how in the world do we expect to get anything? He was God, and he had to go pray for every decision. When whatever he was doing, he prayed. So he's not leaving you helpless. He's showing you exactly what to do. So should we do any less? Okay, we're going to the second thing he asked you to do. Take up your cross daily. He even made that pretty specific. Daily. There's no doubt about that word there. What does he mean here? Well, you know, ladies, Jesus took up his cross. He was beaten and battered, took up his cross. And where was he going with that cross? He was going to die for us. That's what he was doing. He was going to die for us. Now, when you take up your cross, that means you must die to yourself. You must die to yourself. What you want, what I want, no longer matters. It's what Jesus wants. So we understand that we belong to him and we live to serve his purposes. So ask yourself, is my relationship with God based on what's in it for me? Or is it based on what you can do for him? These are questions that you need to really, I ask these questions all the time. I'm always crying because I fail so miserably. But I ask these questions because they're hard questions. But we're called to answer them. So, turning away from our own will to his will, that's our goal. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said it all. Not my will, but thy will be done. That has to be what we do. That has to be how we talk. And when we do that, there's a word for that. When we turn away from what we want and turn to what God wants. It's repentance. We turn away from it. We go God's way. So what in your life is hindering you from absolute surrender to Christ? And what must you lay down to take up your cross? Do you desire to have more money? Is your family first place? Is that what you need to lay down? Your pride? Your bitterness? Maybe a little bit of unforgiveness? How about that bad attitude? And anger? And what about that little bitty just seething anger at God? I know you say, oh, no, I don't do that. But no, you're a little bit angry with him because he didn't answer that prayer you've been praying for 10 years. Do we need to lay that down? And he goes on to say, we must do this daily. There's no residuals today. We don't take it over. Daily, you do this. You don't do it one time and say, oh, I'm good. No. Every day, you have to take up your cross. And maybe up until now, you haven't been spending time with him daily. Maybe you've just been skipping a few days here and there going, well, I prayed yesterday. What, can I tell you something? Every day. He deserves that. He deserves it. And it's going to take commitment and discipline And again, it's going to cost you. You have to give up something else. Spend time with Him. Have you noticed in the Lord's Prayer? I just noticed this the other day. Because I pray that when I'm praying, I pray the Lord's Prayer with my prayers every day. Because Jesus said, pray like in this like manner. I always like to throw that in. Because in case I miss something, I wanted it totally covered. You know what I mean? So He said, give us this day our daily bread. Did you guys ever catch that? Daily. And in Exodus 16:4, God says, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. Just as His mercies are new every morning, we need to spend time in prayer every day. Those people, when He rained down the manna, they only could pick up enough for that day. You couldn't pick up enough and go, I'm going to hide this in my tent and I'm going to use it tomorrow. Doesn't work like that. Same way our prayers are. We need to stay current. He wants to hear from you every day. I mean, He created you. He wants to spend time with you, fellowship with you. There's power in prayer. Say it again. So the next thing He says is follow Me. So why would we want to follow Him? What would be the reason that we would follow Him? You know, we're saved by grace. But like, you will know them by their fruit. I'm going to say it again. Because it's proof of our commitment. When we follow Him, there's always somebody watching. You know, when you're a Christian, there's always somebody watching. And it's proof of your commitment to Him when you do it His way. And you follow Him. And that means 24/7, every day following. Wherever we are, following. Your job, your school, the bank, the manicure place, wherever you are, you're following Him. You're showing a replica of Him. And we'll be going against the grain sometimes, you might say, when we stand for Him. But we must stand for Him in this world where right is wrong and wrong is right. We have to stand for Him. And sometimes it'll cost you to stand for Him. So for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of Me will save it. For what does it profit someone if he gains the whole world, yet loses or forfeits himself? So what are we truly living for? What has taken first place in our lives? Is it anything other than God? When we try, ladies, to hold on to comforts and things of this world, whatever satisfying those desires, rather than denying yourself for Him, in the end, we lose eternally. But if we live our lives always with heaven in view, we save our lives by gaining eternal life. We're going to move down. We're almost finished. So, for whoever is ashamed of Me and My words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of Him when He comes in His glory and that of the Father and the angels. Wow, what a word. Ashamed. That kind of hurt. Jesus will be ashamed of us if we are ashamed of Him. Ooh, that doesn't stick really well, does it? And then you might say, well, how can I be ashamed of Jesus? How could I be ashamed of Him? Well, whenever you neglect to speak up for your faith, and when you're embarrassed to say you're a Christian, in your everyday life, that's how you are ashamed. And when you are around non-believers, do you represent Jesus? See, it's easy for us in this room and when we come to church on Sunday to represent because we're among believers. But when you're out there in the trenches, do you stand up for him? Do we love him enough to show him off? Do we? I'm sure he loves it when we show him off. I know we all love Jesus. I know we all love God. I'm not saying we don't. But are we willing to be ridiculed and criticized for our faith? And again, it'll cost you. You may lose a friend. You might even lose a job. You might, I don't know. You could lose all you have. But when we share the gospel and give broken people hope by leading them to Jesus, what better reward could we possibly have when we glorify him like that? And that's part of our calling. And it's even our mission for Lakeshore City Church. Love God, love others, and make disciples. Amen? In Romans 1:16, it states, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." It is by his grace we are saved, and his grace in us that enables us to do any and all things. So, remember, ladies, we are not alone, ever. But we need to be lights in this dark world. So can we be determined to let our light shine? So that's the lesson. But in conclusion, I'd like to share a small testimony with you. It won't last long, but I don't know. My close friends probably know this story, but I will tell you this story. When I was about 35 years old, I had two boys. I had Joe Tishburn. He goes here. You know Joe. How many know Joe? And Vanessa. Okay. I have Joe, and then I have another son. His name is Brian. Brian, when he was around maybe 1.5 or 2, I noticed he was not developing right. His head was kind of big for his tiny little legs and his tiny little arms, and his body was growing. But it kind of concerned me, but my husband would go, "You're crazy." And I said, "No." So we took him to UCLA. And about a month's worth of tests, they ran all these tests on him, this little baby. And then they came to me and sat my husband and I down, and they said, "We have determined that your son is developing at a slower pace, but his bones are closing too quickly. And so, I hate to tell you this, but he is going to be a dwarf or a midget." I looked the doctor in the eye and I said, "I don't think so." That's what I said. I said, "I don't think so." He said, "What?" I said, "I don't think so." So my husband and I left, and I went to our church the next Sunday, and I had the elders pray. And we, the whole church prayed. Corporate prayer. Whole church prayed over my son. This is my son, Brian. He's 6'1". And ladies, that's the power of prayer. So thank you. And he's bashful. But thank you, and I hope that you will leave here a little bit more encouraged and just more committed to a God who really, truly just loves you.